Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Wow, I'm loud. I've never had monitors right here. All right, Merry Christmas. I am so excited you're here today that we can come on Christmas Day to worship Jesus and to tell him who he is to us, that he's our Savior, he's our King. To watch someone say that they're going to follow Jesus is what this is about. And so this morning, I want you to get your outlines out. And I want you also, if you got a Bible or a pew Bible, to open to Luke chapter 1. I want to read through with you this morning. When I was a kid, like last night, I'm 40 years old. I don't look it, I know, but I am. I'm 40. And last night, I felt silly. My wife will tell you, I am on my iPad doing Santa Tracker. Like going, oh, he's in Brazil. Oh, he's, you know, and I'm actually text messaging him on my iPad, knowing it's not real, but seeing what the things are coming back. And I woke up at 5 this morning, and literally, for just, it's in you. I went outside to see if there was anything out there for me, like maybe my wife had put it out, because for Christmas this year, we got dining room furniture, which is great, but I still got the 8-year-old boy in me. And so I was just thinking about the wonder of Christmas when I got up and I couldn't sleep, and I always get excited. And then I couldn't sleep because I knew I was coming here this morning to be able to share with you guys how Jesus is still changing things with his birth and with his death and with his resurrection. And when I was a kid, Christmas was hard for me because I was super ADD, as you can tell. And so I would go to my grandmother's house. Now, my grandmother had a house that was one of those you don't touch anything. There was a lot of pinks and a lot of floral patterns and a lot of plastic on couch things, you know. And she had this one thing every Christmas that she would do. She put out a snow globe, like village. And she would add snow globes to it. And I remember I would just walk up to them and look at them. And I would always hear the thing, Jimmy, don't touch it. And I would just look at it because it looks so boring. All these snow globes sitting there and there's no snow. They're just sitting there. So every once in a while, I would have to run down there when everybody was not watching, shake it up. And I would run and try to shake. And then I would try to shake them so much that I'd get everyone going at the same time. And then at this one moment, this one Christmas I remember vividly, I accidentally took my elbow and knocked it off, shattered it. One of her favorite ones is actually the one with the manger scene in it. And I remember looking at it, and I remember, oh no, what's getting ready to happen to me? I was scared, and I was looking at this little safe snow globe that got shattered. And that's exactly how it is for you and me. Nobody expected Jesus to show up. And Jesus shook up everybody's plans. He messed everything up for everybody. He shook it up for Joseph. He shook it up for Mary. He shook it up for King Herod. He shook it up for the religious leaders. Everybody's world was shattered in a good way when Jesus showed up. And Jesus, in the Christmas story and in your story today, still comes into our lives to shake things up. Life never turns out the way we think it's going to. And sometimes when Jesus and God step into your life, just like they stepped into Mary and Joseph and all these people's life, God is saying, when I come into your world and shake it up, it's for a very good reason. It's for you to do something that will show the world who I am. And today, this morning, we're going to talk about Mary. Jason talked about the shepherds and Joseph. Last night, we had 5,000 here, and he talked about Jesus. But this morning, Jason wanted me to talk about Mary, and at first, I was like, what do you mean talking about Mary? And as I studied for this, it just was fascinating to me about her. Because a lot of us have misconceptions. A lot of people in the world have misconceptions about Mary. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Mary was sinless. Nowhere in the Bible does it say worship Mary or pray to Mary. In fact, when you look at her, she's a very ordinary teenage girl that was scared. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I always feel selfish because when I do this, I get more out of it than you will. And I was looking at it, and I just was praying, and I said, you know what? I am so glad there was nothing special about her. She wasn't wealthy. She was poor. She wasn't educated. She wasn't mature. She was a teenager. Yet God chose her to deliver the king. And as I looked at it, I was like, and God speaking to my heart, he was just saying, I use ordinary people to change things. And she's just ordinary.
You're ordinary. I'm ordinary. I use the things that people don't think about to change things. So today I want to talk about that a little bit, that Mary and what she did and how her response was, but more important, how we are like Mary. If you think about it, all of us in this room are going to be Mary to somebody. That sounds weird. Let me explain that. All of us at some point will talk to someone who doesn't know about Jesus. And we become the one that brings the Savior into their life, just like Mary brought Jesus to us. And so for all of us, God has the same plan that he had for Mary, to glorify him even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's scary, even when it's not convenient, that we follow after him and bring to the world Jesus so they know who they are and whose they are in him. So if you have your Bible, I want you to open it to Luke chapter 1. Because I want to set the scene a little bit in verse 26 about what's happening here. Now, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Isn't that the truth? Think about this. How many of us have ever sat in this room and in a sermon or in something in your life, you have felt God say to you, "I want you to do something." And all of a sudden you're thinking it's either indigestion or you're thinking that I'm secure, I love my job. You're thinking something. And when God says, "No, I want you to leave. I want you to go do something for me." Every single one of us in here hate change at times. And God in this story shows that Mary was just like us, because when God said, "Come, you found favor," when God said, "Do this," she was greatly troubled. In fact, if you look at the original words, it says she was scared spitless. I don't think it means that exactly, but she was scared. And there are going to be times in the Christmas story and in our life where God's going to say, "I want you to give sacrificially. I maybe want you to change your job. I maybe want you to move to a different country. I maybe want you to serve with middle school kids." That's crazy enough. And all of us, thank you, and all of us in our hearts, when God comes in, a lot of us say, "Whoa, that's big." And Mary was just like us. It was just like us. So here's what happened. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus. He will be the great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even," this is an important verse right here, "even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she was said to be barren in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." When we come here this morning, it's easy to come into this place to worship God, to know that he saved us. It's easy for me to see the cross and believe in Jesus. It's easy for me to say, "Yes, Lord, I know you forgive my sins." It's much harder to come into this place and say, "Lord, use my life." See, a lot of us act like atheists when we're Christians when it comes to this. Because it takes a lot of courage to say, "Lord, I know you saved me." That's the easy one. But "Lord, now I want you to take my life and make my destiny what you want it to be, no matter what that is." And for some of us, that's a frightening thought. And for Mary, it was a frightening thought. But Mary goes on to sing a song. And it's one of the only songs that you see in Scripture in the New Testament. She sings a song where she takes these verses from the Old Testament and puts them together and shows us why we say yes to Jesus, to God, when he says, when we want to follow him. So we can get your outlines out, and I want us to look at four things that she talks about. Because Mary's answer was this: "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." And I used to wonder why she said yes. Did she have a choice? In spite of all of her fears, she knew she's going to be misunderstood. She knew she's going to be criticized. She knew it was going to be tough. Yet she still said, "Let it be as you said." She knew it was going to be a lot of ridicule. She knew there was going to be a lot of gossip. She knew a lot of things, but that didn't deter her from serving the one who called her to. I remember when I became a Christian 18 years old at UK. And I remember that when I went home and told my parents that Jesus was my Savior, that wasn't a big deal. But I remember when I went home and told my parents, "I think God's calling me to be a minister." They flipped out. They looked at me and said, "Are you being brainwashed or what's going on?" I said, "No, I don't know what it means, but I feel like God's calling me to do this. And I feel like I got to say yes." And my parents had nothing to do with it. So I went on to UK for the year, and I knew God wanted me to be a youth minister. And I said, "God, just, I don't know what to do. I hear you calling me." And then all of a sudden, my parents, I have a twin sister, they said, "No more financial support." It's a true story. So I lived the whole summer wondering what to do. And with a week before college starting, I said, "All right, God, I want to do it because you called me, but there's no way I can. So I'm just going to go back to the UK and just try to minister there." About 3 days before classes started, two men came up to me in the church I was going to. And they said, "Are you going to Cincinnati Bible College?" And I said, "No, can't. You know, I just can't do it this year. I hope to get there some year." And they looked at me and they said, "There are two families in this church that'll pay your first year." And I knew. I knew that no matter what I was scared about, no matter what fear was, that God was leading me. And a lot of times in your life, God's going to say, "Step out and do something big." And it may look silly to people. It may look foolish to people. There may be ridicule and criticism. But God said, "Follow me and I will open the door. Look at the people before you." And Mary is a great example of an ordinary, immature person like me that said, "Yes, God," and things opened the door. It doesn't make it easy. But God's calling us this morning not just to worship Jesus as our Savior, but God's calling us this morning to say, follow the destiny that he has for you. That your destiny and your destiny is just as important as Mary's was in this world, to bring Jesus to people. So she starts to sing. And if you look at verse 46, she sings this song. And I want to go through four quick things this morning about how we can follow after God's destiny. Mary said, "My soul glorifies and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." We can follow God's destiny for us because God made us for his purpose. God made us for his purpose. You're God's idea. You're his invention. You're his innovation. He designed you, crafted you, formed you. Not only did he make you, he saved you. And not only did that, he had a very specific plan for you before this world was made. And sometimes when I see people come up to church to me all the time, and they'll say to Jason or me or Randy or somebody, they say, "We're just so unhappy." And I look at them and sometimes I say, ask God what you're supposed to do. See, a lot of us think that we can just do what we want. Jesus saved us, but we can now still live the life that we want. And Christmas shows us totally something different. Christmas to us and Christmas to everyone is, yes, Jesus has come, but now you have a part in that, and I have a very specific plan for your life. The plan's not to chase after what you want. The plan's very specific and very designed, and you will never be fulfilled because I made you until you do the thing I made you to do. And so a lot of us, we come here our whole lives and we worship and we love Jesus and we trust him for our salvation. But then comes that part when he says, "Now you go follow me." And Mary had to make a decision. Why did God make me? Why did God choose me? And it's because God made her for the purpose like you. I love it when she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She said, "I'm not doing this haphazardly. I'm not doing this because I feel an obligation. I am saying thank you. I am saying yes, Lord." And for us to follow after him is a rejoicing, Father, no matter what you call me to do, I will take people to see who you are. She said that. When it comes to life planning, we need to follow after Jesus like Mary did. And some people just think, and I'm going to say this really clear because I love you, you will never be happy until Jesus has all of you. You will never find peace and joy until Jesus has all of you. You can have Jesus as your Savior, and it's going to be a great time in heaven. But Jesus said, I want you to have life right here. And Jesus created you and all of us for a very specific purpose. I hope we hear that. And some people spend their whole lives. My dad died 3 years ago. Never saw him go to church. Never heard me preach. And at the end of his life, we would talk a lot. And my mom would sit there real quiet when we would talk. And I would wonder why. My mom said afterwards, he would never talk to a minister. It just is because you're his son is why he listened to you. And at the week before he went to the hospital and he died 10 days later, he accepted Jesus. And I remember when I got to the hospital, he hadn't been awake for 3 days. When I showed up and said, hey, Daddy, he woke up. And for 24 hours, I got to see him with peace in his life. There's no peace without following Jesus all the way. There's no peace or joy. And Mary knew that. And no matter how much people would say, and you know the great thing I love what the angel did? She came and said, Elizabeth, your aunt, is going to have a baby, and it's miraculous. She's old. And so Mary went to the one person that would understand what she was feeling. So she went to stay with her aunt. And that's how God is. When God calls you to do something big, he puts somebody in your life that's going to understand it. Who's going to encourage you, who's going to tell you, keep going. And that's what we want to be at this place in this church, is a person that says, keep going after God's dream for you. We're right here. We understand what it means when God calls you out of a life into something different. We know what it means when God says, give up your vacation money for somebody who needs it that's homeless. We know what it means when God says, sacrifice. We know what it means when God says, now go live in Florida. We know what it means for when God tells us to go, and we want to say to you, we understand, and I love this part of the Christmas story, that Elizabeth was someone who could understand Mary because it was miraculous to her as well. So when God created you for a purpose, he created you for a huge thing that only you can do. And that's another thing people don't understand. God created you for a niche that only you can do. So when you don't serve, you deprive the world of what he wants to do and what he wants to do through us. The second thing Mary did to follow after the destiny, and she says that we should, is because no one cares for me more. And that's important to understand at Christmas. When I was dating, I don't know how many of you do this when you're dating. It happens all the time. You're on the phone, or it's your wife. I'm newly married. I've been married 7 months. Have you been thinking about me today? Oh, of course. All day, baby. I think about you all the time. You know, we say that, and then you're on those phones. You hang up. You know, you play these things like all the time that we're thinking. You know, I love my wife, and she loves me, but we don't think about each other all the time. Those of you who have parents, you love your kids, but you don't think about them all the time. Nobody thinks about people all the time, but the reality is that God thinks about you all the time. There is never not a moment that God doesn't think about you. In fact, the scripture is full of hundreds of verses like Psalm 115. The Lord is constantly thinking of us. In 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and care, for he is always thinking of you. He watches over everything that concerns you. If it concerns you, it concerns God. Now, why is this important for me to say today? Why is it important for us to see this in Mary's response? Because you will not follow after something you don't trust. Think about it. We don't trust easy. And to know that God is always thinking of you makes it easier to trust. You've got to know that, or it doesn't work. Not only when Jesus came, he was born, he grew up, he said, I came to give you life. In the same sentence, he said, there is one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. There was a person named Satan, a being that is actively pursuing you to destroy. He pursued after Jesus. through the king. He pursued after all of us in our plans. And you got to understand in your life that God's always thinking of you. He's never not thinking of you. So when you feel alone or you feel like God's far away, that's not true. He is always thinking of us. In fact, Mary said, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." She says that in the next verse. He is mindful of me. And that means that he's alert, attentive, focused. A lot of people that I talk to, and I do this as well, say, "Jim, I just don't feel God's near me. Jim, I don't feel like God cares what's going on right now." And when we start to think that way, it's hard to trust. Some of us grew up with maybe a father that was abusive. So the fact, the thought of God as our father is a really hard concept for us. But Mary understood that when nobody's paying attention to her, God was. That's how she was able to trust. That's how she was going on. We have this thing every day that we have to make a decision, and it all came down to this Christmas morning about fear versus trust. And let me tell you right now, I'm going to put it in plain English, that anytime you move toward God, there's going to be Satan who's trying to make you afraid because you're dangerous in the kingdom. Because God's always thinking of you. He knows it. You have God's power. And with Mary, she said, she understood that he was mindful of her. And then she goes on to talk about the blessing of it. And when we think about Christmas and we think about the Savior being born, we also got to think about the reason we're here is because he's always thinking of us. So at this time at Christmas, some of us might feel alone. Some of us might be away from our kids. Some of us might not have a loved one like we had around. So for us, this feels sad. And God's wanting to say to you right now, I am thinking of you all the time. There's never not a time I'm not thinking of you. Just trust me. The last two are these. We can follow God's destiny for us because God honors humility. Like I said earlier, it takes courage to say, God, not my plan, but yours. It takes courage to leave a salary of six figures to go work on a mission field for five. It takes courage to step out of comfort zone to give. It takes courage to follow after whatever he asks of you. But it comes with great peace because God honors humility. I remember reading in Time magazine about the CEO of a big company, and he killed himself at the age of 49. He was a successful young CEO, and he left a suicide note, and it was one line, and it said this: I got everything I ever wanted and lost everything I ever needed. When we pursue things God made, that's prideful when it's just about that. And pride and arrogance, the Bible says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Before honor is humility, he says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And it all starts with humility. We can come here and worship, but God wants you to be humble in your business. God wants you to be humble in your family life. God wants you to be humble in your finances, in your health. God says it all starts with you taking your life and putting it in front of me and saying, it's no longer my life, it's yours. Now take it and do whatever you need to. I still get freaked out with it. Last week, I felt God saying, you need to give away some of this stuff that you have in your house to other people. And I was like, whoa, I like this. You know, no. But once I decided yes, I felt at peace because God honors humility. Mary even said this: he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent away the rich empty. The people she's talking about are the people that think they don't need God, that they might just need him a little bit. And the thing that gives Mary the peace about humility is Mary knew the word. She just did 10 verses to sing her song. And I'm going to tell you something about this. This is the key to a humble life. Mary knew the word, so it gave her peace. And I'm going to tell you this. When you don't know what this says, you tend to go on feelings. And feelings are deceptive. If you want to have a blessed life, if you want to be humble, know this inside and out. Know what it says. Because when we don't know what it says, we tend to do what we think is right. And it can get us far along. And Mary understood that to know the word, she wasn't educated, but she knew it. She could spin it off right there at 13, 14 years old and sing a song. And she knew that she had to be humble for God to make himself known. And God says in our life, it's more and more as we get older, it's more and more being transparent that it's no longer about you, but he gets the glory. And that's hard for us because we're glory hounds. We love the spotlight. We love the attention, but God says, live a life where I get the attention. Live a life where people are blessed because you are transparent. Live a life because you give because I ask you. Live a life that makes sense. Don't live it for you. And Mary totally understood that. To be humble is to know the word and to know the things about him. And the last thing, I love it, because God keeps his promises. That's a big deal. How many of us in our life have had people say to us, I love you, and walk away? Or how many people we've had in our life say, yeah, I promise, but they break that promise? And Mary understands that God keeps his promise and he's faithful. God is good, and if he makes a promise, you can count it. In fact, I love it. And when she says, he has helped his servant Israel. Remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. 2,000 years before Mary lived Abraham. And she's quoting a trust that happened something 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years from us. And she's saying, from that point, 2,000 years ago, I can trust. And 4,000 years from us, we have lived in this thing that God doesn't not keep his promise. God keeps his promise. Because he said to Abraham, I'm going to bless your family because through your family tree, I'm one day going to send the promised Messiah who will save everybody from their sin. She knew this and said, he keeps his promise. In fact, Mary's story happened hundreds of years before her in Isaiah 7. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel. The destiny of Mary began thousands of years before she was born. And the reality is, your destiny began thousands of years ago before you were born. Before it said, before God molded the world, he knew who you were. Before God molded the world, he knew what he wanted you to do. Before God molded the world, he knew exactly what you would do to bless people. And the same is true for us, that we have to follow after him. Mary's destiny was planned. She accepted it. And I want you to hear this really clearly. It's the main theme. That this Christmas, your destiny has been planned all along. So as you come here today to celebrate Jesus, I can't wait till you leave here. Not that I want you to leave, but I can't wait till you leave these doors. Because every moment of every day, God's shouting you to get your attention. I've got a plan for you to bring Jesus to people around you. When I see all these empty seats, it motivates me. It motivates me to get out into the community. It motivates me to talk to people. It motivates me to see, can I be the one, Jesus, to show them who you are? And when you see this and you can trust his promises, you know that he is faithful. You know that no matter where you go, no matter if you face death or persecution, no matter if you face people making fun of you at your office or your family, that you know that God is faithful and has the plan for you to follow even when it's hard. And so this Christmas, my prayer for us is this, that we come honor Jesus. As we learn the journey of Mary, that he's saying to you, I have come for you so that you can go tell people about me. In fact, it says in the New Testament that he created us for good works and that he'll be faithful to see it to the end. So this morning as we worship and as we come around the Lord's table, I want you just take a second and pray a dangerous prayer. Say, Jesus, I'm all in. Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I give this my life to you now. Jesus, I'm ready for the adventure. Father, I want to be like Mary, who trusts you, that's humble, that knows that you're with me, and that with you, Father, through me, lives will be changed. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. Father, I thank you for showing us through ordinary people great things. And so, Father, right now I just pray on Christmas morning as we come to celebrate the birth of your son, as we sing, as we remember, Father, that we say to you, come. into our lives and shake things up. Father, come and give us your dream for us. Father, let my heart accept it. Father, let my heart follow you. Father, I just thank you so much that you created the church, a place where we can come, where people are can be around us and encourage us to say, keep going, keep chasing. And Father, I thank you for the word that shows us what it means to be humble and to follow you. So Father, I pray that you make us invisible. Father, I pray in 2012 you make us transparent so that people see you clearly. Father, we love you and we just lift you up this morning. Thank you for loving enough to chase after us through Jesus, your Son, that we could be with you forever. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.